Welcome back to Let's Talk About It. My name is Amanda, and you're joining us for conversations that spread love, shed light, and celebrate freedom. I had the pleasure this week to sit down with a dear friend, Shelby, and we really got to the center of multiple conversations that we've had over the last few months, honestly, even maybe the last year, in regards to many different topics. And so we are excited to unpack that today with you, and we really are hopeful that you gain a lot from this conversation. Please let us know. Go ahead and leave a review. Let us know any of your feedback, anything that you've taken away from the conversation. We would love to hear from you. So thank you for joining us. So I was on my way here and I was listening to, have you heard Abandoned by, oh gosh, I'm not going to be able to remember his name.
I feel like you've sent it to me.
Well, of course, Brandon Lake is in it. But then Williams, what is his last name? I can't remember. Anyway, whatever. But he's also in it. And one of the lines that it says is, what kind of self-control is this? You had angels at your fingertips and you still chose the cross. And I was like, that line, every single time I listen to it, just gets me. Because it's like, I mean, we've had so many conversations around control in general, right? Like, and we think about it as aspects of like controlling like what's going on around us and other people in individual situations and whatever. But then like every time I hear this song, I'm like,
suffering.
How much do we try to dictate our way out of whatever it is the Lord is attempting to walk us through to make us more like Him? Like, seriously. He chose to stay on the cross because he knew the greater picture of the outcome. Mm-hmm. And like, even today, even this week, there's been situations where I'm like, Lord, just deliver me from this.
Yeah.
Like, take me out of it. Yeah. This is so uncomfortable. Right. Like, this doesn't glorify you. Mm-hmm. But he's like, that's not the point. Like, you're glorifying me through the suffering and the way that you're walking through the process and surrendering it to me. And but that also on the flip side is like that surrender requires relinquishing control.
The one I listened to today was a requirement recommendation, and it was about acknowledgement of suffering, and it was because of the lens of like end stage hospice people and like that they have pain and that they have all this stuff, and they're like, but when someone uses the term suffering, they're like, typically we're trying to categorize like pain or shortness of breath or like a physical abnormality or symptom. And then they're like, but families of the people will come to you and say like, that person is suffering. So they're like, that's immediately flags of like, you're uncomfortable watching what they're going through and your categorization is that they're suffering.
Hmm.
And I was like, oh my goodness. And they were talking about it from like Buddhist perspective and all these other things. And the guy is like, I'm not a Buddhist. He was like a Christian believer, but he was like analyzing from that lens where he's like, there's meaningfulness. I'm like, why aren't you talking about Jesus? I'm like,
right.
Like, meaningfulness of like the most person who suffered the most. They were talking about general sacrifice and like how suffering is like this place where it's an idea in Buddhism. But I'm like, but who actually suffered?
Right.
And willingly.
Yeah.
And like knowingly suffered and had it at their fingertips where they could just.
Do you know where it is?
Let's see if the Bible is charged.
Okay. Because it's, I know, I'm sure you know which one I'm looking for, but I should have. It was, Holy Spirit totally brought this to me earlier and I should have written it down and I did not.
You said we're going rogue today. No notes. Just going.
No, we're just going. Aha, mm-hmm. Right here. Found it. Philippians 3. And this is something, it's so interesting because I think that we actually talk about the flip side of this a lot in the church of we're not called to be in this place. Mm-hmm. And the reality of it is, though, is like scripture speaks specifically about joining Jesus in his suffering. Mm-hmm. And what that looks like. And I'm not saying, like, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that we are accepting of anything that the enemy is trying to put on us, which is whether he's stealing, killing, or destroying something in our life. Mm-hmm. But I know that we've spoken so many times before, but there are certain things in our lives that we walk through that we would never experience Jesus the same way if we didn't have him in that moment joining in our sufferings. And so this is Philippians 3, I'll start at 7. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. I feel like that's one of those things where you can just sit. It's awkward when you're in a place where you know people are actually just like listening to the podcast, but man, I could just sit and let that meditate and resonate in my spirit for so long, because there's a lot of scriptures that I feel like we skip over because we don't necessarily have that full revelation or understanding.
And because we don't want to suffer, right? Because we actually don't want to physically. And that's part of like what the piece I listened to, they were like, we just feel uncomfortable with suffering. I don't think it's only biblical. I think it's like a world lens where it's suffering is like, it's uncomfortable, as this place where some people are built better to do it and endure it. And the whole point of picking up your cross is that like we are calling to endure with other people. We are called to like, like our basic scriptural Bible's not charged. Bible's not.
That's okay.
But where they talk about that you are called to carry each other's burdens.
Yeah.
I'm like, we just get uncomfortable or whatever it is. And you're like, okay, Lord, no, like bring me in closer. Like allow me to get there.
Yeah.
They're saying they're like in the ability, the capacity that you carry to handle your own burdens and your own suffering will dictate how you're able to or not able to help get in the ditch with others.
Yeah. 100%. 1,000%.
And like,
yeah,
I think it's such a good point, because like you said, it's just this place of like, We are, you know, we're saved by grace. We have like this amazing covenant that we now live in.
Yeah.
And all these pieces that are amazing to this walk. But then how do we get to the next step? For a new believer, there's, I think, some part of us, and this could just be me. Like, I think and to the point that we were talking in just our conversations outside of this, like,
yeah,
the podcast piece being like, we've both learned a ton and ton and ton. And like, ministry just in these short 4 years.
Yeah.
But it's like, I used to feel like I had to sell Jesus. And I'm like, how do you sell suffering? you're like, and again, then it comes back to like you're not selling. Like God's like, they need to love me. And again, not seeking after him for what he can or cannot do for us, just for him.
For him.
There's that song, I can't think of the one that's like so mainstream, like not wanting to heal, like the healer instead of the healing.
Yep.
And then there's all these other pieces where it's like, he's our loving father. He's Abba.
Yeah.
He's Jireh. He's all these other things. Like, can you sit with that alone and like still love him?
Yeah.
Still follow him.
If he did nothing else for you today. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think what we miss in all of that too is that part of I just listened to this whole like discipleship aspect of there's a teaching on it that was so good and what it actually looks like. And there were 7 different aspects broken down by the walk that Jesus took in his life. Mm-hmm. And one of the number one things is that we can easily say with our mind, like, I believe that Jesus Christ died for me. Mm-hmm. But the reality is, there's a whole shift in mindset when you speak it as in, I am crucified with Christ and I am resurrected with him. And the shift that transpires in believing, and he's like, I'm believing the resurrection as well as the suffering. And that's where we're not like laying on our backs completely incapable of like knowing the faith that we have in him. But the reality of it is that there is, It's much deeper than that. It's not, I think there's certain things that we make too complicated. And then there's other things that we oversimplify.
Yeah.
And that's one of them in the way of like, yeah, I just.
And I think the same in the conversations we've had lately where we're like, okay, if we were to go back 4 years ago, how do we expedite our relationship with the Lord? How do we expedite intimacy? How do we go from this place of like, what barriers can you break down? So you're like, I want to learn more faster. I want to impart as much as we can into like new people who are coming to the faith. And then also like, how and what does that look like? And then you're like, okay, I'm already grabbing at control as I'm like having this revelation of like, it's just because I want them closer with God. But again, it's coming to like what I want.
Yeah. And
God obviously says that he calls all men to him. And he says that as you pursue me, like, I, you know what I mean?
You know, though, as you're saying that, I think one of the biggest things is who you're surrounding yourself with.
Yes.
Because I look back, and there was such a strong faith stance of like almost the striving to achieve relationship with him versus he's seeking me more than I'm seeking him. And all he's, and there was another scripture, was it the one that I might have, hang on, let's see real fast if I, this is the one that I, no, we'll get to that one later. No, but he, even in the way of, I think often we forget the Father aspect. I mean, if you look in scriptures, and you actually, I started it one day going through and circling every time he was referred to as Father, instead of God, instead of Almighty, instead of, and you can see all of these aspects of things, right? Where it's, but that to me is where we almost start to go to the miracle, signs, and wonders versus the relational aspect of him. Not that anything is wrong with that. We do need to seek those things, absolutely. But not before we know a relationship with him. Otherwise, wish I wrote it down. There was a quote that I had heard just this morning. Oh man, it was actually scripture, and it was in regards to seeking the love and seeking the gifts. But the way that it was written in scripture is sometimes twisted, where we pay attention to the portion of seeking the gifts. But it also is very clear in regards to seeking the love aspect of that and what that looks like. And that's partially, I think, too, is that if we're seeking the miracle, signs, and wonders, we're going to constantly be going back to, do I not? It's the condemnation creeps in so easily. Like, do I not have enough faith for this? Do I not? Like, why am I not deserving of this? Why can't I? What's wrong with me? But when we seek the Father in his face and we seek the love that comes from him and understanding our true identity and who he's created us to be, I feel like there is a fulfillment in that. We're not constantly seeking out of a place of thirsting because he's able to fulfill us.
Right.
And so there has to be that balance in
it's
all
an
of
excitement
that.
For what he'll do next.
Yeah.
Because he loves us. It's not because like he's going to do all this other stuff first. It's from the love perspective, from the relational perspective.
Yeah.
If, like,
it's not for love, it's from love.
Right.
Oof. Yeah.
From love, not for love. Yeah. The unconditional side. When I was not, before I came to the Lord, because we used to be not full atheist, but in that wheelhouse, I used to have a very broken relationship with my dad because of just things of the past and like, you know, whatever, we won't get into all that. But anyways, I had a problem with the word father and a problem with like that whole piece. And it's like in the pursuit of the heaven, like, you know, why would God give you an earthly father that's
been there.
Right. Where we both kind of had that background where like relationships weren't always as strong. And then he completely took what the enemy tried to destroy us with and then restored it. Like my relationship with my dad is amazing. And then in that same way where he's like healing you in a place where you weren't even expecting healing, that he then continues to grow you and show you more love. So then you can then be restored and reconciled and then walk out of walk that yeah. really looks like what he's called you to.
Yeah.
But coming from the place of pursuit of him, and like you said, that he's mutually pursuing you, we get so caught up with like the religions, all of the religious things we're doing, even when we talked about 4 years ago. And
I was thinking about that on the way here. I was like, man, Lord, and this is in the midst of praying for somebody else, right? Like I'm praying for someone else and I'm like, yeah. okay, I have to remember though where I came from. Like I have to remember that I thought I was super, super close. Like yeah. I knew the Lord. I right. loved him. Right. Like all of me. Right. And now like, I mean, I did as right. much as I could
in our capacity.
In that capacity.
Yeah.
Then.
Right.
And it's like as these, I am constantly thinking about it as like layers of an onion, right? Mm-hmm. Like as it's constantly peeled back, you get closer and closer to the heart. And I think that's a forever continuation. Yeah. Like we will forever feel like 4 years from now, I'm going to be like, wow. Back then, I thought I knew what this That's was, what right? But like,
our journals, journals yes, dates.
Yes, exactly, exactly.
Also, not forsaking the small beginnings.
Yes.
When we've been having that conversation, I shared that with girls in one of the groups that, you know, I have in my house. And they were like, you 4 years ago, one of the people who was in the group back then, she's like, you were literally one of the reasons why I started pursuing God as hard as I was.
Come on.
So there was still fruit in a season where like now I'm like, whoa, what's going on? Yeah. And God's like, do not forsake the small beginnings. And he's like, there's no way, like I said, there's no way for us to expedite intimacy, but he was still fruitful because we were still being obedient.
Yeah.
And in the same way with the redirecting, how we talked about last week with the kitchen stove, you know, analogy. For like the people not, you know, listening that can't eavesdrop on Amanda and I's conversations all the time. We've been talking about feeling this like place of correction and like, oh my gosh, I missed it. And then we're like, I was like going into a visit to see one of my patients. And in the middle of me walking in, just there was nothing in the environment at all that, you know, provoked this to even come to mind. He just was like, you know, when Maya's cooking. Maya is 7, and so she's starting to learn, like, the microwave, very yeah. minimal of the stove and whatever. Right. But it was that picture painting of, like, okay, so as a loving parent, I'm going to give her the instructions of how to run the hot things and how to maneuver them. Mm-hmm. And then, okay, so she trusts me to do that. And then when she tries, and if she messes up, then she's still going to trust me to get her a cold cloth or an ice pack when she burns herself. And then she's still going to trust me that we're going to try it again and do it another way. And it's like, how much more with the Lord? Where Come he's on. Like, I love you. Let's just try it again. It's never from a place of condemnation or like, oh gosh, now you can't be used anymore. It's like the disciples, the people who walk with Jesus all day, every day, came with problems and questions and issues and troubleshooting. Like the time I have the Peter saying,
literally, that's exactly where my brain went.
Stephen, tell me, Lord. 70 times, and he's like, no, 70 times 7, or 7 times, he's like, 70 times 7, it's like, I feel like I have that response so often, and he immediately redirects, because we're searching for him, though. We're not searching for religion, we're not searching for other people, and even, like we talked before, there is such a power of the, just of the community and the connections, and so A, being intentional about your connections, mm-hmm. which I think we are, but also then leaning into whatever God is, you know, orchestrated, because we've been close for the full 4 years, mm-hmm. I would say. But right now in this season, I can feel it like exploding into a different, mm-hmm. like into a totally different, our conversations, the revelation, the things that we've been walking through in the past together, where God's like, you guys, like, this is you guys now. And then whoever else I bring to you, and being obedient right. and trusting right. him, and knowing that right. he's going to continue to use whatever is like working yeah. in us. For his good.
Yeah. Like, which is also crazy too, because we went a portion of time where we kind of went like radio silent.
Yeah.
But it's so radio interesting silent. Because we both, there was a deep work happening in both of us mm-hmm. simultaneously. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, so then he could bring us back together. And yeah. I definitely like, I'm in a season right now. We've talked about this with like the pruning of relationships and all the things. Yeah. And it's painful. It doesn't feel good. But at the same time, it's also knowing that sometimes it's also like it's not because anything was bad.
Right.
It's just like potentially even in that moment, like, okay, this is just what I need you focusing on right now
yeah.
and relinquishing that to him and being like, okay, like he'll bring it back right back around when it's time or right. when that's necessary.
And I want to do something new in you. And this is
right.
What it looks like.
Right.
When we talked about right. the potter and the clay before, it's like, yeah. the people that were in the class, they were like, or not in the class, there was girls that I was meeting with afterwards. There was the potter that was, you know, making all the different creations. Mm-hmm. And they were like, no, stop. Don't destroy it. Don't make it small again. You know, don't. And then the person just collapses all of what they were working on. And they were like, no. And I'm like, but how many times do you get like that with God? Mm-hmm. How many times do you get used to whatever he's doing? And you're like, no, don't change this. I enjoy this season so much. I love it. But I'm like, there's going to be a time when he's like, okay, this was our season. And now we're turning into something different now. You know, now I'm going to mold you and then purify you and straighten you out in a couple of different places where like you might have thought it was perfect. You might have thought it was pretty. You might have thought it was nice or versatile or whatever. And like, I'm going to use you to do something different now.
Well, ready and I think
surrendered for him to do it.
In that too is that, and this is really where it's coming to, even in the scripture that he keeps bringing me back to. But when in those seasons, it's so easy. So many things just came to mind, like flooded my mind. One of them being that it's so easy for pride to creep in, where it's like, God, you've gotten me this far. I've got this, right? Like, but humility is knowing that you can't do it without him, right? Yeah. And so I think there's often times where we think we know better than he does. And we don't, it's really painful to say that out loud. But the reality is we do deep down, like, we're like, but what are you doing? Like, this is working. This is good. This is fine. No, it's comfortable.
Right. Ugh.
It's just comfortable.
Right.
And you're uncomfortable.
Right.
And you don't know what that feels like. And a lot of us have to get out of this fight or flight that we're in because we just want to run.
Right.
We want to get mad or angry or whatever. Right. But really what that comes down to is like wisdom of man and not wisdom of God. And so today, this morning, you brought me to the scripture, James 3:13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder in every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness.
Oh, yeah.
He brought me to that this morning and I was like,
Simon, what did you say again?
Well, I got to that place of the selfish ambition.
Yeah.
And I mean, obviously all of it spoke to me, but I feel like that's one of the things that we just, even with the control, we keep going back to this. Why? Because it's all about us.
Right.
It's our comfort.
Right. And it's like the one we talked about the other day. I was listening to this other podcast called It's All I Do All Day. When I'm like, but it was a behavioral podcast by secular people. And this is the one where she's like, you only control what you don't trust. And that is the theme of so much that even brought this conversation together. Yep. Where I was like, hey, I've been up all night. Because God was being very loud about control, comparison, and complacency. And like, and the Bible turned off again. Why is this happening?
Because he doesn't want
I can't remember these all. Lord, not this. It's like, I know some of these, but I don't have all their scriptures. But this one that I was looking at, like my phone was dead and then it was on and it was dead and then it was half charged. I was like, okay, we're good now. Okay, we're not good now. I'll put it down again. I was going to recharge again. But the scripture I was just looking at was saying, be careful, and talking about like the comparison thing where it's like, be careful how you walk and being careful to be only minded with what God has for you.
Yes.
Like so many times. Like I was telling you, even 4 years ago, I was like, wow. And this is where your circle matters, like we were talking about earlier, mm-hmm. where I was like, she kind of intimidates me, talking about you. I was like, she kind of is like super intense in her worship. Not sure what's going on, but I want it. And I was like, but she's also really intimidating. I was like, I don't know what goes on. And so, but by God's good graces, he put us together.
I have so many questions. Okay. Noting for later.
Conversation. Bring them up. But it was like in this place where there was times, I think in good intention, where it was like, okay, God, I want all. And again, it was like a learning, it was a learning position where you're like, God, I want to do everything that you want. I want to
yeah.
on all
yeah,
the
yeah.
teams. I want to do.
Yeah.
And so again, talking from a place where God's like, right now, where I'm like, I feel totally sold out for the Lord. I'll do whatever you ask. I will constantly humble myself. I will constantly yeah. like ask, you know, whatever you ask of me, I will do. And like back then when I thought I was, yes. and I thought I had an idea where it was really like, I remember 4.5 years ago when I struggled to get through like 3 verses in the Bible. And if you're there right now, that's totally cool. God will continue to work yes. through you, even in the one verse, even in the VeggieTales show, even whatever place of life you're in.
Even a secular television where yeah. he wants to find you because you're staring at yes. that instead.
Yes.
Like, that's what I'm talking about when I say pursuing yeah. you. Like, even when we're not pursuing, yeah. he will continue. Yeah. I mean, I was all tripped up on New Age stuff and I didn't even know it when right. I, like, straight away. And right. he brought me back.
Right.
Because that's who he is.
Right. And it's, like, the pursuit side and just seeing, like, where your heart is. So where you're, like, even if you are only reading 3 scriptures a day, that's okay. And, like, God, as long as you are searching him.
Yeah.
And even if you're searching with bad intentions, he, like, if you think about it like a compass, even if you're kind of in like a yeah. north, you know, east and he's north, you're like, okay, I'm still going moderately in this direction. Long term, if I don't get back to like getting to the heart of the Father, I'm going to end up somewhere in like La La Land way yeah. far,
right.
you know what I mean? Way far than I meant to be. But I'm also in that same perspective, some point getting closer to him,
yeah.
even if it's not where like he originally had
well,
me.
And so we also have to, direct. Yeah. And you have to remember too, that he works everything that's meant for evil, he works for good, right? Yes. And so yeah. there's such a free, not freedom. I don't know that that's, I mean, I guess that's kind of a peace in that.
Yeah, yeah.
Where, quite honestly, there's a lot of times where those moments have brought such an awareness mm-hmm. to how great and mighty he is
yeah.
that I, again, would not have known otherwise. Like, it brought into perspective of like, oh, he can show up here.
Right.
Like, oh.
It doesn't have to look like this.
Yeah.
Thing I've like religiously made up in my yeah. head on accident.
Yes.
And even when you're like, okay, I'm going to keep things, when we talk about like the secret place where we're like,
yeah.
I used to just create this, like, again, thinking I was creating a holy place for the Lord. He's like, I'm with you everywhere. Like the Holy Spirit, this had me back flabbergasted last week when every single attempt he did was getting closer to us. He's like, okay. We're gonna, you know, I'm God, let's create people. And they're like, hey, we're gonna go screw it up. So they're like, okay, I'm gonna send Jesus. He's gonna be me in person. This is like from the one that we were listening to before.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, Jesus is gonna go die on the cross for you. Okay. After Jesus has left, I am now gonna send Holy Spirit into you to walk, like to be with you all the time. And because of how much I love you mm-hmm. and because like I want to be that much closer, being flesh on earth was not close enough.
Right.
Now I'm going to walk with you all the days of your life. You will never have to look for me because, well, technically, yes, seek and find. But if he said it's that, it's not like you have to go into these crazy places. You don't have to go into this, like, there's obvious, and again, like, caveat
pendulum that, swinging, right? We can go from one extreme to the next.
Right.
Not what like, we're talking about.
It's a place of like holiness where like, yes, we will dwell in his presence and like, you know, maybe in your church, in your living room, what have you. But in general, like he has made his home in you.
Yeah.
In us. And how amazing and like of the sacrifice and just, it's just such a baffling and like marvelous thing that we get to experience.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, we have no reason not to like pursue him. I'm like, he's literally done everything he can to be as close as he can to us, but still allowing us to have our free will and still allowing us to choose
that part
where you're like, okay. So even before when we talked about this, where it was like in areas where we thought that we were, you know, surrendering and then he shows you and he's like, I'm still right here. I'm not anywhere. I'm still going to walk you through this season. Like,
yeah.
I'm going to walk you through this hurt. I'm going to walk you through, you know, and then we're just going to the same as like the kitchen stove. Like, well, I'm just going to show you now how I meant it to be. It's okay that you it's okay that you misunderstood my direction. It's okay that you misperceived it. It's okay. However, this didn't go the way that I originally intended it to
right.
go. But because like, I love you you know, we will work this out.
And I think, too, we have to remember it's the goodness of God that brings me into repentance. Yeah. And so I think one of the things for people who are listening, who have, they don't even know what the voice of God sounds like, right? Yeah. There oftentimes it's for, I would say, 95% of people, maybe it's that internal dialogue, right? Where it's like, it's not a thought that you would have had on your own.
Right.
It's not something where you can be like, and I heard it explained, and I think it's so powerful. The things that come from the enemy come outward, and the voice of the Lord comes from within you. Right. And you can, like, for me, it's like coming from my belly, and I'm like, I know that wasn't me, that was him. And so even the things that, where he's bringing correction, right? Mm-hmm. It's never this, how dare you, you know, or like, what are you doing? Like, he's never speaking in that tone.
Yeah.
It's always such a gentle, and most of the time he's asking me a question, just like the parables,
right?
Where
right.
he's just like, is that really the best way to respond? Is that really how you probably, like, you know, like, and it's, or
question.
Be careful, like, should you, you know? And so, but it's this, again, like, there's such a gentleness of who he is. Yeah. And I think often we automatically assume and put our own, like, ideas in the way of that.
Yeah.
And one of the other aspects of, like, circling back even to control, right? Like, when we are attempting to control situations or individuals, we have to remember, like, God provided us with free will. And if he wanted to control us and to actually, like, behavior modify versus heart change, he could have very easily done that, right? If he had, like, robots of, like, individuals. Seriously. But, like, he wants the relationship. And so much of, like, even walking this out for me has been, like, that going back, the reminder, honestly, like, what keeps being brought back to me is Judas. Mm-hmm. Like, you knew he was going to betray you. You knew his heart posture. You knew, like, all the things.
Yeah.
But yet you still treated him and loved him the same way.
Right.
That, to me, is like a daily dying to self challenge. Like, I just...
And what he asks.
Right. That's what he asks of us.
Right.
And so often, like, we're, again, going back to the self-preservation, there is this, like, I'm going to back up and build a wall and back off and, like, not because this feels uncomfortable or this hurts or I don't like this or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it's back to that surrender and that, like, changing of our heart posture and knowing that our goal on earth is to be loved by him and to show that love to other people.
Yeah.
And I just... The number of people, and I'm not even saying that, like, this is one of those things where, like, even you saying, like, the intimidation factor, I've had people say to me that, like, I don't even know, like, the craziest things that are, like, loving and, like, so sweet, but, like, I feel so unworthy of, like, such a, I want to turn into a turtle moment. Like, let me hide under a table. And I, like, but the reality of it is I... partially, some of that is for me. It's like, it's not about me.
Yeah.
It's the fact that they are acknowledging that they can see Christ through me. And that is literally the greatest compliment one could ever receive.
And in my opinion, too, because of your obedience. Like, you were.
See, there's that part.
It's both. It's like this, yeah, like you said, the pendulum. It's the total polar opposite of both sides. This is going to be off topic, but in line with what we've talked about before for control. And then just building relationship. So the things that are worth having the conversations when you're even in marriage, this can be for married people. This could be for just friendships too. But I'll speak from a married position. When there was a period of time, Steve and I have only been married now 4 years in July. And in the first couple of years, I struggled with control in a capacity I didn't even know. I thought I was being a good Christian and judging him.
Girl, talk about it.
Trying to encourage him.
Yeah.
Like, hey, maybe that isn't like quite in alignment with the word and whatever, all this stuff. And then God broke it off in the one fast when we've talked about this before, when he's like, hey, I told you to lead a guy and I told you to love him and all that judgment, all that other crap you brought to the table. This is for me to handle out and for you to work on loving him. And I said, okay, I cried. I just went, I cried. But it was really like, I mean, obviously I'm being animated, but it was a lot more gentle than that. And I had gone to him afterwards. I was like, Steve, I didn't even know I was doing this. And it was a place of, even in our conversations, yeah, where I would try to be like, I don't like who you're listening to and I'm not getting fed from it. So I don't want to hear it because I can't get outside of my mm-hmm. own box of faith and my own box of like yeah. understanding Jesus yeah. or the, you know, word or yeah. anything. And then God was like, he's literally in the same place. Like, you guys are yeah. both pursuing. They're just mm-hmm. two different people. Avenues. Two different teachers. Yeah. And like, I am the teacher that can do all things and I can teach from yeah. any perspective I choose. And these are people who are all like good, you know what I mean? People walking, running again to the Lord and to purity and all those things. But it was like with the control bit, like really as much as you think like you're surrendering. And this is where it's going to be really interesting 4 years from now, where I'm like, mm-hmm. I feel like he's been so heavy in depth. And so they're all of it to go is like, their conversations are things that might make you feel like initially uncomfortable, but A, they fix, you know, your relationships. God's like, I literally want to give you the best of everything. Mm-hmm. I want to give you the best.
Right.
And he's like, I died for you. Like, yeah. Do you, what part of that? Like, you know what I mean? Heaven is going to be like heaven. The streets are paved in gold. Like if that's what right. it looks like right now, you know, up then he's like, I've called you to live out this life and I've yeah. called you to have this amazing purpose. And anyways, walk in your calling. But all that to say that we've had those conversations and Steve and I, just like this past week, I was like, being married is very fun. Like, so the strength that comes out of the adversity and the things that you're like,
yeah. this if is, you choose to allow it
if
to.
You choose to allow mm-hmm. it, this is where we were going with, yeah. I mean, some bit of like where we were trying to figure out, okay, how can you expedite intimacy?
Yeah.
People be like, oh, it's time. It's like, no, it's not. 30 years, you could be married for 30 years and you could not be intentionally ooh, so pursuing true. Each other. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And your marriage probably sucks. You could be walking with the Lord, quote unquote, for 30 years and your relationship could mm-hmm. suck if you're not actually pursuing mm-hmm. an intentional mm-hmm. Christ. The same way with our marriage.
Right.
Where it's like, even after 4 years, I was like, I cannot believe how much fun and the difference in how I feel with my soul. Because I've never kept anything from Steve, but just how much more I can trust him and how much more transparent we can yeah. be and like the realness and the intimacy.
Yeah.
Where like, God's like, Shelby.
Just building.
Yeah.
Building.
Yeah.
Building.
Like,
yeah.
I've been working this out. But again, when you care, when
yeah.
you're pursuing, right. and when you're like looking yeah. for the guidance, you know. The most
well, it's funny because, yeah, I completely agree. And it's so interesting because we, I will never forget. It was not that long ago. John looked at me one day and I had said something and I don't even, it was something that like, it sounded loving and caring and kind and all the things. It sounded like Jesus essentially. Right. But my loving, discerning husband who just calls me out on everything. I'm just kidding. No, but he literally looked me dead in the face and he was like, okay, you're speaking one thing
yeah.
and your heart posture is another. Mm-hmm. And it was in that moment, like same thing. I was like, oh, and I was actually defensive at first, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
And I sat with that and I was like, this happens all the time where I'll be like, he's not wrong. Like,
right.
Like he's not wrong.
Right.
He's not wrong. And I think that that's partially for us even is being able to appreciate those differences and the strengths that each individual brings
yeah.
to the table. And the fact of like the submission, like we touched about this a little bit in the past podcast. Yeah. But the reality of it is you're both in it for the same purpose mm-hmm. and, or you should be, right?
Should be. Right.
You may not be, you should be. You both should be in it and on the same team.
Yeah.
Working towards the same mission.
Yeah.
And the reality of that then is God is not going to bring both of you into the same mission with the same characteristics and talents and all the things that are going to help. And so for me, I got to this place. Actually, Pastor Capri said something a couple weeks ago even, and it was even further into this like revelation of I had said something about him not liking change, I think it was. Yeah. And I was like, yeah. I was like, he doesn't love it. And she was like, well, thank God for a husband who likes stability.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, ooh, how, like, are the lens in which we view that situation? You can choose the negative. Yeah. You can also choose the positive aspect of, okay, Lord, like, allow me to see them through your eyes. I do this with my children, my husband, like, any, I mean, we should be praying that way for, quite frankly, everybody.
Yeah.
Because it's easy to put our own spin on whatever this might look like. Yeah. And, but I realized in that moment where, like, even in conversations where I have disagreements, it's that taking that step back and be like, is this him trying to keep me grounded?
Yeah.
Right? Like, is this actually him trying to ground me in this situation? Right. Or is this him trying to control me?
Right.
Because it feels like control at times. But the reality is that's my heart posture that's off.
Right.
In being able to look at it from this perspective of like, no, we are living a life of wanting the same thing for one another.
Right.
There is a healthy aspect of we're going towards the same mission. And so therefore I can trust the fact that my lens needs to be shifted so that I'm looking at it from this place of what out of love is he doing this for? And, yeah, I think this is something that we could literally talk on about for hours.
Yeah. And then the helpmate that God sends, like, it's wild. And it's amazing to be in that place. Like, mm-hmm. I'm so thankful. 4 years ago, you could have never convinced me that, like, this is where we'd be in our marriage. And then again, and how many more years, again, with our relationships, with our friendships, with our walk with the Lord, where you're like, okay. But again, a heart submitted to the Lord. Because you're like, when you work on that relationship alone,
stay in your lane.
By nature of who he is, everything else will come.
Seek the kingdom first and his righteousness and all else will be added unto you.
Yes.
And that's
every
year. On repeat.
Amen.
Literally on repeat. And it's the staying in your lane. It's you focusing on your relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
You're not having – worrying about your surrender versus whatever else – you're attempting to control in that situation. And when you focus on that, and my therapist tells me all the time, think about it as a tree where like you're rooted in him and your leaves are up and like receiving from what he's pouring out on you. Yeah. And therefore other people can eat off from that because of the fruit that you're producing in your life.
Yeah.
And it's just so comforting to like go back to that as like, this is the anchor. I'm not trying to dictate what this looks like. I just need to know that I'm doing this with a pure heart and clean hands, right? I mean, it's the reality. Well, I definitely want to continue with this conversation because I feel like there's so much we didn't even touch, but I appreciate you. And would you mind praying us out?
Oh, yeah.
Perfect.
For sure. Father, I just thank you so much for this time that we've had together, God. And thank you for Amanda. And I thank you for her surrender of even this ministry, Lord. We know that there is hesitancy that we all have. And she, even though does not like hearing her own voice, she said yes, Lord, to you in these places. And that you bless her with extra blessing for all that she's going to continue to do and using in this ministry option. God, I pray for everyone listening. I pray that each and every person, that this has shaken them up in some capacity, Lord, that they realize that there is always deeper to go with you. I pray that right now they feel your anointing, Lord. I pray that they are in worship. I pray that there is other areas and avenues where they are just seeking you, that they're in the word, that this challenges them to take the next step. Wherever they were feeling led to, that this helps them show that this is definitely the next step that you have for them. God, I pray that it brings a fruitful harvest to their lives, Lord, even in just whatever first step they might take. I pray that they are able to seek you wholeheartedly and, like Amanda said, with open eyes, with open heart, with open ears, Lord, and also that you protect them in whatever they are doing, Lord, that we will not regress, that we will not fall back, that we will continue in your pursuit, and that we will seek you alone, and that there will be no distractions. I bind any distractions actually right now in Jesus' name, and they must go.
Yes,
Lord, I declare that there will be just a mighty, mighty harvest of people who are completely sold out for you and running after you, Lord. And we just can't wait for all that you're going to do. We thank you, Jesus, so much for your life and for the ability to be here. In your mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.